With Muammar Gaddafi dead, the battle to end his regime is virtually over. So what happens now? Libya is not Afghanistan. It's wealthy, thanks to oil. It also reportedly has upwards of $150 billion stashed around the world in what's called the Libyan Investment Authority, which the Gaddafi family used as a private bank account. Some of it is invested in companies like General Electric, Caterpillar. And then there's $37 billion held by the U.S., which has released $700 million to the rebels' National Transitional Council. Jonathan Marcus is the BBC's diplomatic correspondent. Jonathan, beyond the money, what's the biggest hurdle you see for the new Libya?
I think essentially maintaining the unity that characterized the struggle against Colonel Gaddafi. I think that campaign kept the disparate elements in the country together. What they have to do now is still hang together. There has to be a unified control of military forces. You can't have independent militias, many of which have become quite well armed, doing their own thing. And of course, once they establish order and security, there has to be a rebuilding of the economy and, crucially, the setting in train of a reasonably rapid process for the drafting of a constitution, the approval of that constitution in a referendum, and then free and fair democratic elections.
Well, that's a long to-do list. Back up just a bit. The militias, will they be disarmed? Is that possible?
If they follow the sort of course many countries have pursued, the idea will be to forge some kind of united national military. And clearly, some of these militias, if they are to remain in existence, are going to have to be fused or blended in some way into that new military that will be under the control of the government in Tripoli.
What about the transition, the hoped-for transition to a democracy? What's the sense you get? We see Egypt still making its way towards elections. The National Transitional Council, members of the council have said that that's their goal, but you know, these things change. What's your sense of that?
Well, look, clearly, the changes in the broader region have followed a pattern with Tunisia out in front. Tunisia, of course, is due to have elections within a day or so now. Egypt, a rather more complicated situation with the former leadership on trial and the military as a kind of interim caretaker. I think the situation in Libya is rather different insofar as the whole of the old regime has been smashed. There is really no state, as it were, to take over. It's almost like building a country from the ground up. But there is, I think, a huge opportunity here. But it is a tall order. There's a very crowded agenda. It's a deeply factionalized, family, clan-riven society. But there won't be any lack of assistance if the Libyan people, I think, need it.
And especially when it comes to the oil, because countries are jockeying to, you know, be involved with the oil industry. Who's going to get to run that? Is it the same people who ran it before? How does that work?
There's certainly going to be needed significant new investment. The fascinating thing there, of course, is who is going to get the new contracts and the new business? To what extent is it going to be firms and companies from those countries who've been the strongest supporters of the Libyan revolution? Or are the Russians and the Chinese and others who perhaps rather sat it out on the sidelines are also going to be taking their share of the business as well?
Well, and the U.S. was sort of in the middle. Britain and France led the NATO mission. They flew the jets. The U.S. supplied drones, President Obama opting for sort of a secondary role. Now, here in the U.S., leading Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney, who said in the past that the U.S. should never have gotten involved in that NATO mission, is now congratulating the president. On the other hand, John McCain, while also congratulating the president, is still saying that he feels the U.S. should have taken the lead. So, you know, there's sort of some political bantering here. What about in Europe?
I think looking from this side of the Atlantic, there's something rather perplexing about the response to all of this in the United States. And when one talks about, you know, this phrase leading from behind, many people have used that in the States to characterize President Obama's position. You know, the reality is this couldn't have been done without the Americans. The Americans took the leading role in the initial air campaign, taking down Libyan air defenses. And frankly, even during the latter stages, without American drones, reconnaissance assets and crucially, air-to-air refueling planes, the European members of NATO wouldn't have been able to mount this operation.
Jonathan Marcus, the BBC's diplomatic correspondent in London. Jonathan, thank you.
Thank you.